I'm Alex, as Tom said, and it's great to be back with you again. We're going to be looking especially at that older son in that parable, so keep it open. I thought I'd begin by telling you a bit about some church youth group experiences I had. So I grew up in a Christian family. We went to a number of different church youth groups and had some good experiences and some mixed experiences. And there was one video that we got shown that's really stayed with me ever since. It was this video by this Christian rapper. You can probably still find it on YouTube now. It was titled Jesus Hates Religion or Jesus vs. Religion, something like that. And the video, it was probably a bit over the top. The Bible does speak about true religion, religion that is about good works of love and generosity. So it's probably a bit over the top about speaking about Jesus hating religion. But this Christian rapper did get at something that is true, and I guess that's why it's stayed with me all these years. Following Jesus, it's not just about doing your duty. It's not just about making sure you're good enough, you know, following a kind of set of rules and rituals, and then maybe that'll get you to heaven in the end. You know, if that's what you think religion is, that's not what it means to be a Christian. To be a Christian, as we've seen over the last few weeks, is to know the love of God, is to know the love of God that we see in Jesus. That is a knowledge that can just transform you from the inside out. And that's what we've been seeing over the past few weeks. As we looked at these parables, we've seen that Jesus is the good shepherd that goes out, looks for the lost sheep, and finds the lost sheep. We've seen that God's great joy, what really gets the party going in heaven, is the salvation of sinners. God's great compassion, as Tom's been kind of taking us through as we've been working through this morning, is his grace, his forgiveness, free forgiveness available for anyone. But I do think we need to be honest and reflect on, I guess, something that video got at. There are a lot of people that when they think about the Christian faith, that is just not what they naturally think of. I always remember a conversation I had with a friend. I invited him to come along to church to kind of come to a guest event to hear about the good news of the Christian faith. And he straight away said, you know, are you sure that I can come? He kind of had in his mind this thing that maybe he would kind of burn up if he walked in through the doors of a church. You know, he didn't think that Christianity was for someone like him. He thought it was for the kind of straight-laced kind of do-gooders. You know, anyone who's ever done anything wrong, well, they're not going to be welcome in a church. Certainly, God doesn't want anything to do with them. As we've been working through these parables, we've seen that Jesus cuts straight through that misconception. If you turn back with me to the first two verses of our chapter, chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, you'll see there that Jesus is speaking to this mixed audience. So he's got the tax collectors and the sinners that are attracted to Jesus, they're drawn to him. But we've also got these Pharisees and scribes who are grumbling. And the parable in our chapter that we're looking at here, the two sons, they basically represent those two groups. So last week we saw the sinners and the tax collectors, and we saw that God's mercy extends to them, that God has compassion on the lost, on the tax collectors and sinners, those who are obviously wandering away, God's mercy extends to them. And this week, we're kind of highlighting the scribes and the Pharisees, because they're the older son. And Jesus exposes their hard hearts. He's teaching us that kind of attitude of self-righteous moralism, that is not what it means to know God. That's not what the Christian faith is about. So as we look at this, the second part of this parable this morning, we're basically being presented with two different visions of life. I guess two different understandings of what God is like. We've got the older brother who looks at God, looks at his father, and is joyless. You know, he sees his work as drudgery. He fails to understand the grace of God. And then we're going to look again at the Father, and we're going to see the grace and the compassion of the God of the Bible. Well, let's start with this older brother. And you'll see there on the handout that I've got 2 points. We're going to start with the older brother, and he's going to show us that a failure to understand God's grace leads to bitter resentment. So back in the parable, kind of halfway through, verse 25, you'll see that we've got this older son, and he's out in the field. And this guy, he's clearly, you know, a dependable, hardworking fella. I was kind of thinking about what kind of person he is and the image that kept on coming up in my head. I don't know if any of you grew up watching or reading Horrid Henry. So we had Horrid Henry last week, the younger son, and now we've got Perfect Peter. perfect Peter, whose whole life everyone around him says, you know, what a great guy he is. He is always out there in the field. He never leaves his father. He's loyal. He's faithful. He's a great guy. But as we can see, there's something that's developed in him that's kind of bitter and resentful towards his father. And it's really exposed by this incredible news about his brother's return. So you'll see there in verse 25, he's out in the fields, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father's killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound." I mean, just remember what a wonderful scene this was. You know, we saw this last week. Finally, the younger son is back, and we saw that wonderful embrace between the father and the son. They've killed the fattened calf. You know, they've got out the disco ball. The music is playing. The party has started. This son that was lost has been found. This son that was dead, he is alive. And so how's the older brother going to react? Well, we see it there in verse 28. He was angry and refused to go in. And then even as the father goes out to plead with him, to encourage him, come in, come and join the party. This older brother, he wants nothing to do with the younger son. He wants nothing to do with the father. And he wants nothing to do with the party. I don't know if you guys saw it in the news a few weeks ago. There was a bishop who got himself in the news for shutting down a party in church. He came down into the church in his dressing gown. I think it was something like 10 past 10 or something. And this choir or singing group or something was meant to stop at 10 o'clock. It was quite a comic scene. He kind of pulled out the mic. He starts shouting at this singing group. He's in his dressing gown. It's kind of farcical. And it's the kind of comic, churchy thing that gets in the news, you know, vicar tries to stop party, that kind of thing. Well, here we've got this older son who wants to shut down a party, but it is so much more serious than a cranky bishop. Because the failure to get on board with this party, it is actually a failure to understand what gets the father excited. It's a failure fundamentally to understand God. And the attitude of the older brother here is a direct reflection of the attitude that we saw with the scribes and the Pharisees. You know, they were outraged when they saw Jesus receiving sinners and eating with them. And the reason they were outraged is that they hated forgiveness. You know, that's what really makes the older son furious. He hates the fact that this father is willing to forgive the younger son. He resents it. You know, how can there be a celebration for this guy? Think about what this guy's been doing. He's been wasting the family money. You know, he's been living it up. Verse 30 there, we see he's been spending all of the money, spending the family money on prostitutes. And what's the older brother been doing? Well, he's been slaving away in the fields. And then think of some of these people listening to Jesus, because actually, it's personal for them. You know, they would know these tax collectors and these sinners. They would know these are not a good group of people. They would think these people don't deserve a welcome. They don't deserve a party. And then I think about what we see around us today. I think a lot of people have a similar kind of attitude. They resent forgiveness. They don't like the idea that God's grace would extend to anyone. I spoke a few weeks ago about an article that I read where a journalist was commenting on a celebrity, an infamous celebrity who's claimed to become a Christian. And this journalist was outraged that a church would welcome this celebrity, even more outraged by the idea that God would welcome this celebrity. People don't really like forgiveness. And look, we've got to be absolutely clear. We saw it last week. The gospel demands repentance. To come to Jesus is to humble ourselves, to admit we've done wrong. That's what we saw with the younger son. But we do need to recognize that God's grace is shocking. It's kind of offensive. These scribes and these Pharisees, they're offended. And people, they're offended today. But to refuse to join the party, to grumble at Jesus' forgiveness of sinners, it's an attitude that shows that we're poles apart from the attitude of God. To resent forgiveness is to fail to understand what God's heart is like, to understand what God is like. He's generous, compassionate, merciful. And the terrible thing as we look at this this older son is that it leaves this bitter resentment. His kind of attitude, it goes back way longer. So look at how he looks back on his life with his father. Verse 29, he answered his father, "Look, these many years I've served you, I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who's devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." We have probably all met someone who's got a kind of resentful attitude to their work. You know the kind of person who, they don't like their colleagues, they hate their boss even more than the rest of their colleagues, and they basically only do the work for the paycheck at the end of the month. And that is exactly how this older son sees his work for his father. He sees it as drudgery. He thinks of himself as nothing better than a slave. And then the only reason that he's been slaving away is he just wanted to get something out of it, really. He wanted to get something out of his father. He wanted to get a young goat. He wanted to celebrate. He wanted his father to give him stuff. And what we're being shown here is a picture of two fundamentally different religions, two fundamentally different attitudes to God. There's the older brother, the attitude of just grin and bear it. You know, do your duty, slave away in the fields, and you might get a reward at the end. And you know, that is how a lot of people think about God, isn't it? That's how the scribes and the Pharisees, that's how they thought about their efforts at obedience. That's how a lot of religion works today. You know, people think, if I behave well enough, you know, if I do enough good things, if I don't do that many bad things, then maybe God will bless me and I'll get a reward, the reward of heaven or something like that. But that is not the Christian faith. This whole chapter is basically hammering home that point. This is not what the Christian faith is about. The Christian faith is about the lost being found. It's about the dead being raised to life. It's about the welcome of unworthy sinners. It's about grace. And so I think as we look at this elder son, we've got to take a step back and I guess assess, is this a kind of attitude that can creep into us? Because Jesus does say earlier in Luke's gospel, beware of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees. And this kind of thinking that we see here in the older son, it can creep into our attitude towards God. I'll always remember chatting to someone from my mum's side of the family, and he worked for a charity connected to a church. So it's kind of a religious thing. And it was weirdly kind of sad chatting to him, because even though he saw his job as a good thing, he had no joy. It was kind of drudgery. There was no delight in God. And to be honest, he seemed pretty bitter that because he worked for this charity, he hadn't been able to do all sorts of other things. And actually, a few years later, he went on to say he didn't really believe in Jesus in any sort of real sense at this point. His service, his duty, his job, it become completely joyless. And I think I found that kind of thing to be a warning to me, and I think it's got to be a warning to us to watch out for when this kind of attitude creeps in, when we forget that the heart of knowing God is forgiveness, is the joy of knowing that we're forgiven sinners. Because, of course, this older brother, he doesn't think he needs forgiveness. You know, he thinks he's way better than his brother. He thinks he's the guy who's worked hard. He's the one who deserves it. But actually, what Jesus is doing here, he's exposing these scribes and Pharisees, showing that they're no better, really, than the tax collectors and sinners. They're just as selfish, just as self-indulgent, just as rebellious. They're in exactly the same camp. And well, the only antidote to that kind of attitude, that kind of joylessness, is a reminder of God's grace. And so that's what we're going to get as we look now at the Father. So this is the second point on our handout. God is endlessly gracious to wayward sinners. Tom kind of pointed this out earlier. It's easy to think of God as this kind of slightly grumpy headmaster, maybe a kind of budget Father Christmas kind of figure. So he has got some gifts, but actually his sack of presents is very, very small, and only a few people are going to get lucky. And that's basically the attitude we've seen from the older brother here. But as we look at the father in this parable, we see that that is just not at all what God is like. The father in this parable can never be described as stingy. I mean, look back at the beginning at verse 12. The younger son came up to him and said, "Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me." And what did the father do? He didn't say, "No, it's not time. I'm not dead yet. You can't get your inheritance." He said, he divided the property between them. He gave straight away. He generously gave to his sons. And then look what he says here later on in verse 31 as he replies to his older son. He says, "Son, you're always with me, and all that is mine is yours." The Father in the parable all the way through shows us the God that is endlessly generous, long-suffering, but always quick to give. And actually, that's just the consistent picture that the Bible gives us of God. I think sometimes you might hear people suggest that we've got this Old Testament God who's kind of grumpy and angry, and his instinct is to judge. He's basically impossible to please. But the reality, the truth, as you read through the Bible, it is the complete opposite. God is generous. He gives and he gives. The history of the people of Israel in the Old Testament is basically the picture of a God who forgives and forgives and forgives, who gives and gives and gives. And it's exactly the same here. It's the God who loves, the God of compassion, the God who is gracious. And yeah, Jesus is using the Father in this parable to hammer home that point. Look at verse 32, a wonderful reminder of what we saw last week. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. Salvation has come to this house. And it's really interesting, isn't it, what he says, the Father here. He says, it was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive, was lost and is found. It's the complete different to earlier. I don't know if you noticed that. The older son said, this son of yours. But the father's saying, no. This is a family reunion. This is a moment of joy. This is what I'm all about. I wanted this family reunion. This is a moment to be glad and celebrate. And what we're being reminded of once again is that God's great joy is the salvation of sinners. He longs for the family reunion, for the lost to come back. Both the younger son who wandered off, but also for the older son. And I do just want to kind of really highlight this, that because you might be a visitor here today and you might not be someone who follows Jesus or would call yourself a Christian. And I just want to make it clear to you that God's forgiveness is available to you. You might be actually not that interested in churchy things or religion, or maybe you've seen some of the bad sort of religion. But you should know that Jesus welcomes you into his family. He calls you back. He calls you to forgiveness. But I think that the really, really wonderful thing here in this second part of the parable is that the Father's mercy, it still extends to someone like the older brother. And that's so interesting, isn't it? Because these scribes and Pharisees, the people like the older son, they're the people that will take Jesus to the cross. You know, they're the people that conspired against him to get him executed. And Jesus shows here that his love, it even extends to those people. I was thinking back to the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin at the beginning of the chapter. I was kind of thinking, why do we have both of these parables? It is quite interesting, isn't it? That they're really, really similar. There's basically something precious is lost, a big search, and then the lost sheep, the lost coin is found, and there's a party. And I wonder, and I think I heard this in a talk before, so it's not original to me, but I wonder if the point that Jesus is making is that God's mercy, it's for the far and for the near. It's for the people that very obviously look like sinners, the tax collectors and sinners that we saw, the younger son. But it's also for those that appear near, that appear like so-called saints, the people like these Pharisees and scribes, the kind of religious elite. God's mercy, it still extends to them. God would still love for them to come back. And I think that's why the parable ends on a cliffhanger, because the invitation to come into the party is still there for the older brother. He can still come in, even after the bitterness, the resentment, the anger, his hatred for his father, he's still invited back into the party. And yes, he'll need to recognize his need for forgiveness. But this is the remarkable thing about the God of the Bible. His mercy, it is vast. He's endlessly generous to wayward sinners. And the older brother could still come inside. Isn't it amazing that there would be a party in heaven if someone like the Pharisee or the scribe came into the kingdom? So what have we seen? Well, we've seen two attitudes towards grace, two different attitudes towards life. The older brother, resentful, bitter, ungracious. His service is joyless. And then we've seen the father, merciful, compassionate, full of love. And it is the father in the parable that shows us what God is like, what Jesus is like. And so if we're going to be followers of Jesus, that is the heart that we should have, a heart that is full of compassion, that longs for the lost to be found, for the dead to be raised to new life. And over the past year, I've had the privilege of being on the staff team here and kind of, I guess, watching St. Nick's from a kind of distance. And the thing that's been so encouraging for me is seeing that this is a church which I think absolutely has that attitude. And I guess I just want to encourage you guys as we close these parables is to see that the religion that Jesus loves, the true religion, is a religion that looks out at a lost world and invites people to come to the God of compassion, to know the God who forgives sinners, to delight in the joy of repentant sinners. And the key, as we see these parables, is to remember God's incredible grace to us as individuals, to remember that grace that extends to all people, to remember the joy that comes from knowing that grace. And my prayer and my hope is that that is something that we will hold fast to, that we will know this God who saves us, who has such compassion on us, that offers forgiveness through Jesus. Let me pray as we close. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. Father, we thank you so much for your grace to so many of us here in this room, that we were dead, but you raised us to new life, and we praise you so much for it. And we do just pray, Lord, that you would help us to find our greatest joy in that, to know you deeply, and to share in that compassion and that love for the lost. Amen.